in case these programs are divided from each other, I will just requote this. Simple as it sounds, when stated, the most fundamental point for astrologers to grasp today is the need for them to know prior to interpretation, I suppose through a study of the individual. You know, DK recommends even meditating 5 hours upon the person you are going to meet if you're meeting them for healing purposes, perhaps through a study or perhaps through many different cues and a general impression, even an intuitive impression, where they are upon the path of evolution, learning that way. So prior to interpretation, to learn where they are upon the path of evolution, at least reasonably so, and then you can begin your interpretation, and then you will know how to use that tabulation, which is given on page 332 and 333, such a valuable tabulation. DK tells us pretty much how different people born in different signs respond. During the Leo chapter, he tells us about some different stages of Leo development, but there it is in this tabulation in an epitomized form. One other hint I will give, it will be, this is, it's almost as if this Cancer chapter is a great repository of wisdom, a container of so many important tabulations. This is a place to refer to. It will be from a study of those people who are born in the cardinal signs that the clearest information will emerge in this connection. Where people are upon the path, and DK has his own reason for this. You know, cardinal signs are signs in which, for ordinary individuals, latent things come to a head. The word cardinal suggests the head, coming to a point, coming into visibility. Now, he discussed the cardinal signs in a much loftier way as being perhaps relating to great entities and their energies and great principles, and a certain amount of vagueness from our perspective would be encountered because we cannot understand at that high level. But now he seems to be reversing himself and saying that if you want to study closely the path of evolution and where people actually may be, that maybe some of the clearest representations of their status, the least vague representations, will be for people who are born in the cardinal signs. He didn't say under. Now, is he being specific here? Because if you're born in a sign, you're born with the sun sign, the sun in that sign. So clarity will emerge here. It will come to a surface, come to the head, come into visibility. So that's a general statement. In other words, to most easily detect the point in evolution of an individual, study those individuals who are born in cardinal signs. And if both the rising sign and the sun sign are in cardinal signs, then it may be even easier to detect this level of evolution. But the whole idea of detecting level of evolution, let us not imagine that it is easy. There are so many factors, and sometimes obvious things may occur to us, and they may not be the most essential things that actually reveal this particular level. So one must know a person very, very well and be sensitive to factors that may appear rather latent and not completely expressed. It's not always that that which is outer and most expressed is the most significant. So every case is a special case. And then one must always, at the present stage of evolution, hold one's conclusions a bit loosely, because there are many things that the master can see that we cannot see. I mean, he the people in his groups, they all had various faults. He brought these faults to their attention and therefore to our attention, but he also said that people don't realize how small, in a way, these faults are and how very close to a more liberated state these people really stood. So what is big and what is small? What appears to be big to us may not be big at all, and vice versa. It might be useful to point out here that through a study of the cardinal cross, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, the astrologer can arrive at a clearer understanding of ordinary individual human beings. It's almost like there's a reversal going on here. Cardinality is so monadic in a way. It so much deals with our progress into the greater groups that its reflection may come down simply to the personality level, which is in a way the opposite end of the stick of the monad. You know how between the sun sign and the point opposite the sun sign, you have the personality and the monad. The point opposite the sun sign represents the monad. So it may be the case that, in fact, the very high cardinal cross indications, when reflected, will reveal the status of the ordinary individual human being, though right up here he seemed to say that the cardinal cross would reveal, in general, the evolutionary status of everyone. Where upon the path of evolution the subject under consideration stands, because the path of evolution includes paths that go beyond the first degree. It's all evolution, isn't it? We can also understand group beginnings, because the cardinal signs are group signs in general. Remember, studying Cancer here, we're studying the mass consciousness, and he warns us not to interpret everything in too individual a manner, especially the indications of the cardinal cross. So maybe something about the way different groups emerge, how the individual emerges with a particular group, how those groups evolve, maybe the cardinal cross will tell us something about that. And of the significance of the first initiation, well, in a way, you know, Aries is the beginning. EGN, Aries is the beginning. And Cancer is the emergence from the mass consciousness. Cancer visions life in Leo. Leo is the first initiation. It definitely rules the first initiation. Libra rules the sacral center, in a way. Remember, blind, how did it say, unbalanced, fiery passion. That is what we learned about the undeveloped Libra. It has to do with Uranus, which rules the sacral center, also Venus in a certain respect. So the sacral center is lifted to the throat at the first initiation to a degree, and the throat is ruled by the third ray, and Libra has that third ray. And then Capricorn, of course, the birth of the Christ in the heart, the first initiation, being born in the manger and so forth, being born within the animal kingdom, the Christ consciousness born within the animal kingdom, which we carry with us all the time because our physical nature is the animal nature. So we can see how these different cardinal signs can be related to the first initiation. So it takes us all the way from the ordinary state to the state of the first degree initiate, and interestingly enough, initiation is the beginning of group consciousness. Or at least it confirms that maybe it begins a little bit before that, according to the Tibetan. There's always the herd consciousness, but that's not the real group consciousness. So maybe the cardinal cross also can point to those types of group beginnings, which are based upon the descent of a buddhi or love wisdom into the first degree initiate. Or let's just say that group life and what one learns in group life leads towards developing the qualities and characteristics you will need for the first initiation, because the energy of love wisdom has to be somewhat established in the heart. Although it is the sacral center that is emphasized, the heart is also emphasized at the first degree, and there is a change in that center. Christ is born in the heart at that initiation. So anyway, the important thing is to keep this in mind, that the cardinal signs in general will reveal evolutionary status, but the cardinal signs in particular will reveal the evolutionary status of the average human being, a clear understanding of what they are doing, of group emergences, beginnings, and of the significance in the life of the individual of the first initiation. So you kind of wonder whether people who have these signs emphasized and who are standing around the period of the first initiation will not be the ones who are most noticeable as passing through or taking the first initiation. All right, then he takes a jump here and he says, through a study of the fixed cross, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, which in a way, interestingly, spans the period of the first initiation to the third, he will arrive at right interpretation of the lives of initiates. Now here, I do think he pretty well means, initiates of the third degree, of group absorption into synthesis. So this is, if you look at it, he's already entering the area that goes beyond unity, of soul into spirit or monad, is what he's really saying. Because synthesis, let's say, an appreciation of synthesis appears after the third degree, or at least, or is confirmed then. Of the significance of the third initiation. So he seems to suggest that there are factors in the fixed signs which will lead to a clear vision of the process of the third initiation and those taking the third initiation. Now, we do remember that the sign most characteristic of the third initiation is Capricorn. But Scorpio is definitely involved. The three tests are there, and the mental tests are more likely to be applied in the period preparing for the third initiation. Leo is, while active at the first two initiations, suggests the transfiguration, a glorification. You know, that Christ was transfigured or glorified before his three disciples, Christ Jesus, or it was really a reenactment. We realize that because even the Master Jesus had taken the initiate Jesus had taken the third degree as a Joshua the high priest, and the Christ had taken the third degree long, long before. He died as Krishna in 3102 BC. So long before that, he had taken the third degree. He was taking the third degree in Atlantis with the Buddha. So it was not, it was a reenactment. It was not the Christ taking the third degree by any means, not even the Master Jesus. But that glorification, see, Leo and glorification. Let's just put that down just for fun. Leo and glorification, the radiation of the causal body through the form. Let's remember also the great light which breaks forth at the third degree, where one begins to see the light sublime and enter some phase of the greatest light, with Taurus being the mother of illumination. So all of those signs so far in this way indicating the third degree, and not to leave out the liberative sign Aquarius, under which the third degree is frequently taken, and yet not forgetting the importance of Cancer, Capricorn, in relation to the third degree, the initiation which it most frequently represents in occult lore. But let's just say that every one of those fixed signs can be seen as importantly involved in the taking of the third degree, and maybe we will learn something here about climax upon the fixed cross. Fixed cross. It's not quite liberation. Liberation happens at the fourth degree, and you can certainly take the fourth degree as an Aquarian. We learn, though, about the fixed cross. It's the cross of blinding light, Taurus, fiery pain, Leo, bitter woe, Scorpio, and yet the cross of liberation, which is Aquarius. And there's something about this climax of some of those indications which is occurring at the third initiation and which will be quite visible in the person taking the third initiation when they have strong fixed cross emphasis. In other words, what we are really doing here is we are getting ready to change crosses. So we step down from the fixed cross and do not yet mount the cardinal once we have taken the third degree. So the soul is coming into very great expression here. The purpose of the whole fixed cross is to bring the soul forward. It is the cross of soul development, and that should be very obvious by the time the third degree is taken. And DK seems to say, if you really want to understand those who are taking this type of initiation, to be able to interpret their lives clearly, study the people who are at this stage, who are taking the third degree, and who are found strongly on the fixed cross. Now, obviously, you can be born on or in or under cardinal signs, in or under mutable signs, and you can still take the third initiation, but perhaps the greatest clarity of understanding will occur if you study fixed cross people who are at that stage. So initiates, and by that he means pretty much the third degree, moving from group consciousness into synthesis, which requires the presence of the monad or the first aspect at the third degree, and of the significance of the third initiation. Okay, so it's a study of the fixed cross itself and also a study of those who also study of those who are taking those initiations and are found at that point. Okay, I'm sorry, I saw my wife out the window there and she was doing some kind of strange dance and wanting me to go for a walk. So I lost my train of thought here. All right. And it's a pretty serious section in the book, studying the cardinal cross for the first degree, the fixed cross for the third degree, and through a study of the mutable cross and what I was trying to say, presumably of the people who are found on the mutable cross in their lives, he can arrive at the significance of disciples, which, remember, this goes up to the third degree of group activity, but let us say, but not absorption into synthesis, okay? Because absorption into synthesis is all about the subject of the, it's all about the first aspect, which becomes more prominent in the life of the individual at the third degree and of the second initiation. Now, well, he's laying out for us new modes of astrological research. He's telling us when the days come that we can actually have a large enough sample of people about whom we really know something clear about their stage of evolution, that there is a way to proceed so that we can learn even more by studying three different types of people and three different crosses. Now, I have to emphasize again, if you have cardinal signs, I mean, it seems obvious, of course, but if you have cardinal signs, it doesn't mean that we are somehow taking the first degree necessarily. Or if we have a lot of fixed signs, it doesn't mean necessarily we're taking the third, or many mutables, the second. But when you study people who have those emphases, and they are in the general period of the initiations here specified, then we're liable to learn more about the whole initiation process and about their relationship to it and about the relationship of these modes of activity that the three crosses represent in relation to these initiations. This is for the future. Right now, I think our sample is not big enough. I mean, okay, you know, we could look at the life of Krishnamurti. Philip Lindsay's done a lot of good work on that with his book on the initiations of Krishnamurti. He was a Taurus. He had Aquarius rising. His moon was in Sagittarius. Well, there's a double fixed cross man who seems to have taken or recapitulated the second degree, taken the third degree, and apparently from some sources was in the process of taking, maybe successfully, the fourth degree. And there's the fixed cross emphasis. So in this particular case, that double fixed cross really worked out. But, you know, look at the chart of Mussolini. Here's a man with the sun in Leo and Scorpio rising. Certainly not taking the third degree, was he? And, well, we don't know about Napoleon. Obviously, Napoleon had to have been an initiate on the first ray, an initiate of some standing to do what he did, but, again, probably not a third-degree initiate, or it would not have ended for him as it did. The problem of personal ambition and realizing one's elite status without sufficient humility is occurring before the third degree, and yet there he is with two fixed signs, Sun in Leo and Scorpio rising. So you have to know, you have to have in your sample those whose lives are already showing the characteristics of certain initiations. And then you can learn more about the initiation and more about how their lives demonstrate that initiation through the fixed cross. He definitely does mean the third degree when he talks about the fixed cross here, because when we look at the mutable cross, it's all about the second initiation. Now, there's a lot of second and sixth ray on the mutable cross, if you think about it. The second initiation requires the sixth ray. It is the ray that is most in expression. The second initiation requires the sixth ray. Just think about it. Virgo has it constellationally. Pisces has it constellationally. Sagittarius has it constellationally. Gemini does not. But it has the second ray, Gemini. But at the sixth initiation, the emphasis upon the sixth ray has to move towards more second ray characteristics. So we can see that the initiation is appropriate here. Now, on the cardinal cross, strangely enough, there's not a whole lot of first ray coming through the planets. Yes, through the signs, of course, through Aries and Capricorn, yes, not through Cancer and not through Libra, where more third ray is found. But the planets that are the rulers of the cardinal cross do not show us the first ray so much. So let's just say, what do they show us? They show us, well, let's just go around the circle here. We've done this before. Starting with Aries, they show us the sixth ray of Mars, the fourth ray of Mercury, the seventh ray of Uranus. They show us the sixth ray of Neptune, fourth ray again of the Moon for Cancer. They show us the fifth ray of Venus, the seventh ray of Uranus, third ray again in Libra for Saturn. They show us Venus fifth ray and Saturn third ray, Venus fifth ray for Capricorn. So the, let's put it like this, the planets do not mediate the first and second rays. And at the first initiation, the seventh ray is very prominent. as is the sixth of aspiration, and also the third involving matter and the conquest of material sphere, and the fourth ray of struggle. Now maybe the fifth ray is not so prominent, because the fifth ray is found most focally at the third initiation. It's also needed in the dispelling of glamour at the second initiation. But suffice it to say that the third and the seventh ray, now we're involving here the sacral center and the throat center, are very prominent on the cardinal cross from the planetary perspective, and maybe this is one of the reasons why the first initiation, which involves transfer from the sacral to the throat, is very important. Second initiation involves transfer from the solar plexus to the heart. Now, does it work out, however, when we deal with the fixed cross? When we deal with the fixed cross, we have the Vulcan rulership, the Sun rulership. I'm looking at the esoteric rulerships. We have Mars and Pluto, another first ray. Pluto is a mental planet. And then we have the third, no, excuse me, then we have the second ray. I'm not sure we can make anything definitive of that. The fifth ray is very important at the third initiation. It is the ray which is considered primary. Just, you know, turn to page in the rays and initiations here, page 340, and you'll see the rays that are active at all of the different initiations. This is important. So seventh ray, strongly found upon the cardinal cross, is active at the first degree. Sixth, strongly found upon the mutable cross, is active at the second. But the fifth ray, well, we have Venus in Taurus. And after that, we really don't have a lot of fifth ray representation here. We have strong Saturn. It represents the concrete mind and the need to overcome that concrete mind, but not so much fifth ray mediated in through the fixed cross. And yet the fixed cross is exactly the one which fulfills the soul and begins to move towards the cardinal cross, where the will aspect will be strongly pronounced, probably constellationally rather than planetarily. First comes the planetary expression, then comes the sign or the constellational expression. So the cardinal cross has quite a bit of first ray through Aries and Capricorn from the constellational perspective, even though not from the planetary perspective. As for the fixed cross, it is strongly involved in the third degree from the constellational perspective, talking about the light, the transfigurative glory, the final one of the three major tests of the Hydra, the mental heads, and then the liberation into a transfigured state through Aquarius. The meaning of the signs themselves carry the meaning of the third degree. Well, you know, it would be nice to be able to understand all these hints, but that will have to be a group revelation. There are a number of good esoteric astrologers, and they will each have different insights, and when you start comparing their insights one to another, a fuller revelation of the implications of DK's statements here can emerge. And for instance, insights that I will miss simply because my mind is constituted in a certain way will be picked up by others. So, as I say, this is simply an ongoing commentary meant to give seed thoughts and directions for the development of further thought, and I hope it works in that direction. I'm counting on my brothers and sisters in the field of esoteric astrology to, you know, help fill in where I have missed things. Probably the real reason why the cardinal is associated with the first degree and fixed with the third degree and mutable with the second degree, the real deep reasons are still to be disclosed. Okay, but we do see the progress, right? We do see the progress from the beginning of group activity, right? Group beginnings, or let's just call it here on the cardinal cross, beginning of group activity under the soul, but still inchoate, then to the mutable cross, real group activity, and then to the fixed cross where the group, fully capable of group soul activity, is absorbed into synthesis under the first ray. We do see the progress here, and all that remains is for us to find a sufficient sample of people where we can confirm what the Tibetan is saying here. The above indications, he's so right about this, may not conform to the ideas generally held. Indeed, they don't. They don't even conform to some of the main emphases which DK has given at other times, but he's always changing his point of view and he's always changing his context, and one of the esoteric abilities is to follow him when he's changing his points of view and follow him when he's changing his context. So they may not conform to the ideas generally held and appear to reverse some of the points which I have earlier made. He's very aware of that, because he just talked about the vagueness, the elusiveness, the high cosmic nature of the cardinal cross and its general incomprehensibility to man, and now he's being so concrete. But a careful study of the suggested implications may make the point clearer. So in a way, DK is dropping seeds here, and he's also giving us incentives to action. He's saying, do this. Don't just trust my word for it, but carry out the necessary experimentation. Get the right samples of people about whom you are clear. Even do statistical work. He talks about that, I think, in relation to a study on mediumship and such things. In a book like this, it's a seed book, isn't it? I mean, it's not meant to give the last word on every elaboration of esoteric astrology. He's planting seeds which can be grown in the consciousness of those who are interested and which will reveal things most probably that he has indicated as factual. Every cross has its exoteric significance, and with all this, with this all astrologers are somewhat familiar. Okay, that's the place where modern astrology is for the moment. It also has its esoteric meaning and import, and this is as yet an untried field of investigation. So he really, isn't he? He is, oopsie, I gotta make sure, end up, yeah, did that. He is calling, for experimentation. He's calling for the fifth ray labor to prove or disprove his assertions in these matters. He's pointing us in the right direction. He's somewhat playing the role of Sagittarius, pointing us towards the gate of revelation, but he's not entirely taking us through. That we have to do on our own. It is a great task for a teacher to learn what to give and to learn what to hint at, but not to give fully. Because, as Master Moria has said, that to give all is to put on chains. You can imagine that. Then nobody has to exert his powers. No one has to exercise his faculties. His faculties will not grow if all is given. All you have is the weight, the burden of that which has been given, and you have to assimilate, and you don't exercise your abilities in the acquisition of that which the teacher has bestowed. In other words, you couldn't find it for yourself. You have to depend upon the teacher to give it to you. It's okay up to a point, but after a while, you want to, you know, if a person enjoys running, a person enjoys jumping or walking quickly, and you're just sitting in your armchair and you can't do that, you're missing something. So we want to be able to do what the masters have done, and DK basically is saying, look, we want to make masters out of you. We want you to exert yourself so you actually become masters. A master becomes a master by mastering, and not just by intaking what those who have achieved have given. So that's it. Everybody builds the antikarana his or her own way, ultimately after the principles of doing so have been absorbed. But in terms of every unique step and unique attempt and the various realizations that may come from such efforts specific to you, nobody can give that to you. So, every cross has its esoteric meaning and import. Esoteric meaning and import. Every cross. And it has its spiritual importance. Now, the spiritual importance, and I want to add the word or divine importance. Sometimes a DK uses the word spiritual as if it relates to the soul and maybe the spiritual triad. And sometimes he uses the word spiritual as if it relates to the spirit, just the way the word divine relates to the spirit. But in order for the spiritual importance to emerge as we study the crosses, we have to take the higher initiations. And this, he says, this spiritual importance excuse me, is only revealed at the major initiations, and there we have to say from the third degree onward. It should be remembered that these are the threefold differentiations of the one life. These three types of initiations, perhaps. And that Capricorn, for instance, marks not only the point of deepest concretion, you know, the bottom of the diamond, as it were. Not just a mountain, but an inverted mountain, the bottom of the diamond. Not only the deepest point of concretion and therefore of death, certainly death to the world of spirit and death to the spiritual consciousness, but also the point of highest initiation and of entrance into the life aspect of deity. Now, what we know about Capricorn is that a couple of other signs give entree into even higher levels of initiation, but who knows? Capricorn is active at all the five first initiations, 1 through 5. And Aquarius and Pisces can be found at the 5th degree and at the 4th degree as well, and so can Capricorn. So we're asking, is Capricorn found at an initiation beyond the 5th? Because we do expect to find it at the 5th degree, yes, along with Pisces and Aquarius. But is it found still higher? Because he says the highest, the point of highest initiation, an entrance into the life aspect of deity. Well, that is, let's just put it like this, entrance into the life aspect of deity begins at the 3rd degree. At the 3rd degree. But it's not full entrance by any means, no. So, you know, is Capricorn somehow involved in the 7th degree? Aries certainly is, and, I'm not sure Aquarius is. Leo may be involved in the 7th degree because, in a way, Leo rules the 7th plane, or the hierarchy of divine lives, which expresses itself principally at this time on the 7th plane. But how high the sign Capricorn goes in terms of its involvement in initiations, this has yet to be determined. I cannot too strongly reiterate the reiterate the constant necessity for you to think in terms of energies and forces. And that's why, basically, he said that esoteric astrology was his most occult book, because it was written entirely in terms of energies and forces. It's all about, in a way, the fifth ray approach, even though astrology is largely a third ray science. I mastered energy, for I am energy itself. The master and the mastered are but one. That is the fifth ray statement in this most potent paragraph, showing the mode of fifth ray realization and achievement. So anyway, even though the Tibetan's not a fifth ray master, he certainly is training those who have to use increasing fifth ray, and he's training those also who are moving towards the third degree, as well as towards the second and first, especially the second, I would say. And so he has to use a fair amount of the fifth ray in doing so, because that is most prominent at the third degree. And at the third degree, you are given the vision, he says, of the passage of the many lines of force. And does he use the word, is it astounded? Is that what it is? It is, it may be astonished or astounded. Let's see. There's only one, so maybe we can find it. Yeah, he says here that it has been occultly said that a vision of these powers and their many weaving lines seen as rivers and streams of light is given to the initiate from the mountaintop of Capricorn, that's an interior state. Once that summit has been reached, it is at the transfiguration initiation that this vision appears before the eyes of the astounded disciple. Notice he's still calling the initiate of the third degree, or the one taking it, a disciple. It is a fluid term, but there is that amazing paragraph, or section of a paragraph, and all of these different energies can be seen simultaneously: rays, planets, sacred and non-sacred, discovered and undiscovered planetary lives. What a tremendous synthesis of group work on the high astrological level, planetary, stellar, rheological, is revealed to the eyes of the astounded disciple. So think in terms of energies and forces, and then only secondarily of form and of the aggregations which these energies and forces condition. I cannot too strongly reiterate the constant necessity for you to think in terms of energies and forces, of lines of force and energy relationships. Well, that's what we are attempting to do, and it would be a great purgation of the mind if we could learn to think in this way instead of just in terms of personalities to which we are attracted or not attracted. Creativity has to do with the power of combination, and that which is combined is all of these energies and forces. And the lines of force they create between themselves, and thus create energy relationships. Astrologers must also think in terms of qualities and characteristics, as is the, you know, instead of just will it go well for me or will it go badly for me. The me isn't even real, you know, I mean, and we're not even talking about the real evolution here. We're just talking about the desire nature of the personality. And a lot of people just come to an astrologer with those desire questions in mind. Will I succeed? Will I fail? You know? Astrologers must also think in terms of qualities and of characteristics, as is the trend of the more advanced astrology today. I mean, the astrologer Dane Rudyard was practicing and writing when DK was writing this book, and there was a close connection there between DK Rudyard and Alice Bailey. And he was certainly one of the more advanced astrologers. Maybe Alan Leo, 20 years earlier, or 30 years earlier, was also. Although you can tell the difference in the books when you read them. The whole story of astrology is in reality one of magnetic and magical interplay for the production or externalization of the inner reality. What a statement. This is what astrology really is. It's a story of magnetic between the various factors and magical tending towards manifestation, magical interplay for the production or externalization of the inner reality. It's all about being such a third-ray science. It's all about how to bring into form and external relationship the various internal relationships so that the outer form can reflect the heavenly archetype. And astrology is indispensable when attempting to understand what the divine plan is and how the divine plan should be executed. It is a story of the response of form, vast as in a solar system, of course, which can still respond to these zodiacal lords, microcosmic as in a human being, and minute as in an atom or cell, to the urge or pull of, so the urge is prompting forward, and the poles are attracting magnetically to the urge or pull of energy and of streams of force, pull of foci of energy and of streams of force. These pushes and pulls, the urge is the push, and the magnetism is the pull. These pushes and pulls are always operative, and we are subject to them, and we have to become intelligently subject to them according to the plan which we are to work out. We can't follow every urge and every pull. We have to have our own standing wave structure, which keeps us as we are, but allows us to utilize the pushes and pulls which come to us. These two are not identical, but must be taken into the calculations of the investigating astrologer and his interpretations. Now, let's see, what does he mean by these two? It is the story of the response of form, solar systemic, microcosmic, minute, to the urge or pull of foci of energy and streams of force. I think it's the foci of energy and streams of force, even though obviously urges and pulls are not the same. They work in different directions. But the foci of energy are the entities themselves in their most concentrated form, and the streams of force are the emanation which go forth, the radiatory influence, probably spherical really, that goes forth from these foci of energy, the field produced by the focus. Let's call it that. The streams of force are the fields produced by the focus. And they must be taken into calculation by the investigating astrologer. We are within the force fields of many foci, even right now. Are we not? We are even now within the force fields of many foci. They are, through their streams of force, as if here. Maybe if we got closer to Mars or lived on Mars, we'd feel even more, but the field of Mars is here. The field of Uranus is here. The influence, their influences are here, even though the foci may be relatively distant. It's a question of the intensity of the energy. Now, obviously, you know, we're all affected by the, let's say, by the galaxy Andromeda. It's maybe a twin galaxy with our Milky Way. But we would be affected more if we were within Andromeda, wouldn't we? I mean, we're affected by the solar system of Sirius, are we not? But if we were upon that great star or one of its associated centers, we would be affected more intensely than we are in our present solar system, and thus it goes. So it's the field is perhaps less intense than the focus, or life within the field is less intense than life upon the focus. It is the focused energy of Cancer which makes it a major magnetic or attractive focal point leading to the processes of incarnation. Well, it can be. I mean, we're talking about the field of the field or the actual focus of energy. The constellation is that, and we are within that field, and we are within its focused energy, we might say, but not so intensely as if we were closer to that constellation. It has an effect upon the matter with which we come in contact and upon the matter of our vehicles in such a manner as to pull the consciousness upon the higher mental plane repeatedly into the third, seventh area, the ray 3, ray 7 area of the lower systemic subplanes for purpose of expressing the saving force, the uplifting force, the service orientation, and I suppose meanwhile gaining some greater facility with concerning expression in these lower worlds. Through the door of Cancer streams the magnetic, magical light. Now, of course, it's largely 3 and 7, so the magnetism, the magical part is there. The magnetism must be that of the 3rd and 7th rays. It's not the 1st ray magnetism, nor necessarily the 2nd, but the 6th ray magnetism of desire is there through Neptune. Streams the magnetic, magical light which guides the soul into the dark place of experience. Through the door of Cancer comes that influence, which when working upon the soul and the causal body, will guide its projection, its presence as a personality, into the lower 18 subplanes, or lower 2.5 cosmic subplanes, which are called then the dark place of experience. So from a great distant source, which is an intense focus of a certain type of magnetic energy which relates soul and form, this streams forth this energy which will bring the two together. Cancer is a very binding energy. I think it not only binds matter together, but it also has an allure for the sun aspect. It's as if the mother aspect is calling to the sun aspect to enter as an entering God for a time for the sake of redeeming mother substance. So this is the pull down into what we call incarnation and into a condition of restriction and so forth. Similarly, it is the magical pull of Capricornian energy, which upon the returning wheel, the reverse wheel, in contradistinction to the wheel of rebirth, or the outgoing wheel, although we can be on the, you would say we can be on the wheel of rebirth even as we are upon the returning wheel, and this is the rending process of the wheels turning in contradictory directions. I mean, you know, when we're second, third, fourth degree initiate, almost fourth degree initiate, we're still on the wheel of rebirth, or we're definitely on the reversing wheel, the returning wheel. But, you know, for the sake of clarity, DK can put the contrast in such a dichotomized manner. Similarly, it is the magical pull of the Capricornian energy upon which the returning wheel of expression and of discipleship, draws the soul steadily away from form, life, and experience, and constitutes this magnetic, magical light, the radiant light which leads the soul in safety to the mountaintop. Interestingly enough, the Cancer in the fourth house often mean refuge, and the fourth house often mean refuge, as in Buddhism, and I take my refuge in the Buddha or the Dharma and so forth. But really, the real refuge, is in the place of apparent danger, alone upon the cold and isolated mountaintop. And that's, you know, the apparent refuge in matter is actually an imprisonment, isn't it? So these are beautiful statements from the old commentary, the magnetic magical light, which guides the soul into the dark place of experience, necessary for redemptive purposes, and then the Capricornian radiant light, which leads the soul in safety to the mountaintop, which is its own true home, we might say. In terms of consciousness, the mountain top is the true home of the soul. And so things are really reversed due to the astral reversion. Lone upon the cold and isolated mountaintop, in terms of consciousness, the mountaintop is the true home of the soul. Okay. Well, I think we will now call, I will say a bit more about this in section C. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 99B. And we are where? On page 337. And we will begin with beginning of Esoteric Astrology, 99C, also page 337.